welcome to worship. It's good to see you if you're visiting us for the first time. Great to welcome you. We also have a visit from the Felixstowe officers. It's nice to see them here this morning. God bless you. But just a few announcements before I hand over to our special for this morning. First of all, we will be having an open air witness at 12:05 on the Triangle. You're welcome to come and join us there. Tomorrow, of course, Sally Wags, as always, commences at 10 o'clock. Also, it's Community Prayer Day, and that's 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Josh Hunt is leading the prayers, and if you want details on how to log on to the internet, there is a poster on the notice board giving you those details. Now, this is the first time I've watched the officers doing this in sermons using their mobile. First time ever, of course, I've made a use technique. That's not wrong. The last time, of course, I've made a use. So, luckily enough, I have a nice post-it to tell me. And on Wednesday at 9:30 to 12:30 in our community hall, there will be a quick chat, and it's over 20 different areas of help for personal development, and the mayor is going to open it at 10 o'clock. And so if you would like to know more about it, John Pilgrim knows a little bit more than I do, and that's everyone's invited to come along. There's over 20 what do you call them, John? Organisations, and they're going to have tables with all the stuff they use for their organisation. Well, don't let me put you off. Pop in and see for yourself, okay? That'd be great. And of course, at 1:30, everything will be right. You place a game for friends together. And I'm sure the ladies will belong to join with that. Now, on the 21st, next Saturday, there is the Churches Together pilgrimage, and that is that people from all churches will be walking around the local churches in town, and there is a time for each church. And again, there's a poster at the back on the notice board, and you can join the pilgrimage at any stage. I believe they're about 5 to 11. They're coming here, and they will have a prayer at each station. And I think also they will have refreshments here at 11 o'clock. So again, there's a nice poster about that as well. Well, now, it's for me to introduce our specialist who travels far. David and Linda are going to lead us in our worship. And of course, they're one of us, but give them a good old welcome. Thank you very much.
Some of you can remember who we are. We don't seem to have been here for a little while. But it's lovely to share with you. I hadn't said Happy New Year to you yet. I say Happy New Year to you now. We're only 2 weeks in. I think Major Linda will be saying Happy New Year to you till April if she hasn't seen you before, because of the Scottish tradition of that. But it's lovely to be here. Lovely to be able to worship with you and share in worship with you and lead you in worship. How about asking this of the Lord this morning? Lord, as we worship you today, give us a vision. Move us by your Spirit. Bring good news to us all. Freedom to broken people and heaven here on earth. Open our eyes to see you as you really are, and open our hearts to praise you. Give us a vision that will carry us through our disappointments and our failures, our anxious and unhappy times. Give us a vision that will lift our lives and lead us to new ways of service. Help us to dare dream of love in a world that speaks of hate. Help us to dare to dream of hope in a world that speaks of despair. Help us to dare to dream of peace in a world that speaks of war. In our worship today, Lord, give us a vision. Give us a vision through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The band played to the tune of our opening song, and if you're using the songbook, it's 349. Yet once again, by God's abundant mercy, we join our song of thankfulness and praise. Ever the light of our Redeemer's victory shineth before us in the world's dark ways. Jesus shall conquer, lift up the strain, evil shall perish, and righteousness shall reign. We're going to sing the verses through, but just to point out, let's not miss it as we're singing it. Verse 3, grant us, we pray, still greater revelations. Grant us greater revelations than he's done in the past. And may he do it this morning as we share together. 349, the words are on the screen. That's, there we go. And let's rise together if we're able to sing the song straight. Going to use that refrain again. You'll see it's still up there on the screen. And I'm going to ask that we sing it again, possibly a little slower, maybe even a little bit quieter, more thoughtfully and more prayerfully. Jesus shall conquer. Do you believe that? Jesus will conquer. Righteousness shall reign. Evil will be defeated. We live in a world today where we see evil in such different forms around the world. We see homelessness. We see poverty. We see hunger. We see modern day slavery. We see knife crimes going on all over the place. Evil shall perish. Righteousness will reign because Jesus will conquer. Let's sing that refrain, believing it this morning that it will happen. Jesus shall come.
Jesus shall come.
Second song says, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live, my purpose for living, my purpose for being on earth is to worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. And may as we share together today, not only we gain a vision, but we worship our Lord, our Creator. We worship Jesus Christ who died on a cross and rose again victorious. My reason for living, to worship you. Worship you. May that take place here, but it may also take place as we leave here later on and go into the world. The reason I live is to worship you. We're going to sing this song twice through and come into this atmosphere of worship and praise and thanksgiving for all that the Lord has done for us during this past week. Remembering the good moments and the good times when I look into your holiness.
When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. When I found the joy of reaching your heart.
and may that be our desire this morning as we share together in worship, to worship him, to worship him in all his glory. Shall we pray together? And as we enter into a time of prayer in our band practice on Wednesday evening, we'll be reminded to pray for those who are not able to worship with us anymore, to those who weren't with us in the band practice on Wednesday night, and to remember them. But it's important that we also remember each of the others of our core family, and they are still part of our core family who are not able to be here and worship with us at this time. We bring them before the Lord this morning and hope and pray that as we're praying, as we're worshipping together, that those who are not able to be with us feel and be drawn to this place and our worship time together. It's lovely to have our core officers with us this morning, and we thank the Lord for them, and we ask God's blessing upon them, especially in these days of growing together as an enlarged family. We thank God for the new baby daughter, Eva, that's been brought to our family, into their family. And we continue to pray for them and to uphold them, and pray that this time that they share together that will be beneficial and helpful as they grow together as a family. We think of the world in which we live. We've heard of so many times when lives have been taken this week through various ways of wickedness. I heard this morning that there's been a plane crash with many lives lost. And so we come before our Heavenly Father in prayer with those things on our hearts, with things that we each bring to our worship this morning, those things that we want to bring before the Lord that affect us and affect our lives. And so in these quiet moments of prayer, we bring our situations before the Lord. We bring the situations of the world in which we live before the Lord this morning in prayer. Father God, I'm so grateful and thankful that we're able to gather together in this way on Sunday morning. Father, for the last 7 days, perhaps we've been on our own, we've been in work situations, home situations where we're on our own, where perhaps we haven't had the privilege of meeting with fellow Christians. And this morning, we can come together, we gather as the church gathers, and can worship you and sing songs together, listen to your word together, smile together, talk together as your people. And pray that as we share together this morning, Father, that you will lift each other up. We will build one another up in the faith as we worship and sing and as we share in conversations. Father, may your Holy Spirit move in this place this morning. May we feel the power of that Spirit alighting on each and every one of us, just as we have need today. Father, you know our needs. You know our circumstances. You know where we are in our relationship to you. And I pray that each and every one of us will meet you just where we are this morning. I pray that everything that we do will bring glory to you. I pray that you'll be able to use it in a powerful way that I cannot even begin to imagine how you're going to use it this morning. And at the end of our worship, we'll say, yes, I met with the Lord today in that place of worship, and I'm ready to go out into the world to serve you during these coming days in whatever way you choose and ask of me. We do remember those who are no longer able to worship with us. Father, we recognize the work and service that they have given over the years. We recognize the way that you used them. And I pray that you still continue to use them in their prayer life, wherever they are. But they're not able to gather with us. They're not able to worship with us. So we bring them before you and ask that you will build them up too, just where they are and just whatever they're doing this morning. Father, we think of our world situation. We look at our world and we see those things that we thought about earlier, of hunger, of homelessness, of modern-day slavery that is going on. We see the effects of war in another country, and we see how that is affecting the people of that country. And I pray into those situations this morning, Father, and pray that those who are working into those situations, those who are serving you in those places, will be given the strength to continue to serve you in the way that you call of it. But we may see your spirit too moving in those situations that bring about your peace into our world in these times. But now, Father, I just ask, as we continue to worship together, as we continue to share together in your name, that you will guide us in our thinking, guide us in our response to what you have to say to us, because I ask it and I pray it all in the dear and precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, who, when his disciples asked him, "Lord, teach us how to pray," taught them to say, and we unite together in saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. My prayer would be that you will continue to pray into those situations that we've thought about. Evil shall perish. Righteousness will reign. Amen to that. Now we're going to invite the songsters to bring us our message and to help us in our worship this morning, a good upbeat number entitled "On the Rock."
In my defence, doesn't it all come down to the person describing accurately what they want you to do? I'll say no more than that. For it is good that in God's house that we can be happy, that we can just be glad and be comfortable and know that our God is with us. I've been asked to share in the Bible reading, to read the Bible reading, and the Bible reading that David has chosen for us is Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 to 16. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 16. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And may God help us and add his blessing and help us understand the words that David will bring to us later from this particular passage of Scripture. Now, we have been blessed at the beginning of our meeting as we listened to the band minister to us, and we now listen again to the band message.
Thank you.
Before we turn to God's word this morning, we're going to sing the words of Psalm 376 in our songbooks. The words will be there on the screen, 376. King of kings, majesty, God of heaven living in me, gentle saviour, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end, all within me, falls at your throne, your majesty. I can but bow, I lay my all before you now, in royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. 376, the words are on the screen, and let's stand together, if we're able, and sing two verses. Father God, we thank you for songs and hymns that we've sang this morning that bring us so close to you in our worship. We thank you for your word. And now as we turn to that word this morning, we pray that you will open our hearts and speak into our hearts what you want us to hear and what you want us to respond to. I ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Going now. Ruins my white piece story. Gone now. Leaves me. I want to tell you a story about a private soldier and his commanding officer who got on a train together, and the only seats available were opposite a pretty young lady and her grandmother who she was travelling with. The young soldier and the young lady were obviously enjoying each other's company as they were on the journey. And suddenly the train went through a tunnel and the lights went completely off and it was pitch black. Immediately there was two sounds that were heard. The first sound was the smack of a kiss. And the second sound was a slap. And then suddenly the train came back out of the tunnel into the light again. The grandmother thought to herself, I can't believe that young man kissed my granddaughter, but I'm glad she gave him a smack in return. The CO said, I don't blame the boy for kissing the girl, but I wish she'd hit his face and not hit my face. The young girl said, I'm glad he kissed me, but I wish my grandmother hadn't slapped him. And as the train pulled into the station, the soldier couldn't wipe the smile off his face. He'd kissed a pretty girl and smacked his commanding officer. And got away with both. He seized the moment. He seized the moment. He seized the opportunity. And in the same way, but maybe not in the same way as we travel on the trains, we must do the same. May I suggest that we ought to do the same. That we need to take advantage of every opportunity to fulfill our purpose in life. The purpose that God has made us for. It's unfortunate when we get caught up in deadlines, problems, distractions and obstacles, which, although we really want more fulfillment from each day, these things prevent us from achieving what God wants to do in our lives. It prevents us from knowing the fullness of life that God wants for us. Paul, however, gives us some examples in Philippians 3 of how we can learn to make the most of every opportunity and live our lives to the full, no matter how hectic your life may seem to be to you. Three simple ways to seize the moment. Songsters sang right at the beginning of their song, seize the day and seize the moment, what God wants you to do, and live a more fulfilling life because of that. The first thing he suggests is find your purpose. Find your purpose for life. If I were to ask you, what is your purpose in life? It would be a number of different answers, I would imagine. A variety. Be a good wife, could be a good husband, could be a good mother and father, be good grandparents to our grandchildren. Some may say, do my life better, do my work better, day by day. All good answers, but secondary to what your primary purpose is. Until we find that primary purpose, we can't live life to the full. Now, I bought a fairly expensive Parker pen. May not look very expensive to you, but it was quite expensive, and it was a birthday present to me. But if you were to ask me to sign a check for you right now, it would be no good. However expensive it is, because it doesn't have the ink in it. The ink has run out. Now it's my fault it can't work. It's my fault because it can't work. Because I haven't gone to the effort of changing, taking this off and changing it and put a new ink cartridge on. I haven't bothered to make its purpose, fulfill its purpose. So if you were to ask me, sign a check for me after the meeting, will you? I'd have to go to a 29p Bic pen. Because it's got ink in it. And it can do its fulfill its purpose in life. Until I do something about this pen, it's useless. And it doesn't matter how much it costs. It doesn't matter. It doesn't do what it was meant to do, which is to write. But this 29p pen has got the means to do what it was meant to do. Maybe a simple illustration. But may every individual that God has created seek and find their purpose and their primary purpose for life and for living. Until we do that, life is without meaning and we will not be living our life to the full. Paul in verses 10 and 11 of the passage Major Linda read to us a short while ago said, I want to know Christ so that I may be like him. Paul is saying, my reason for living, my primary purpose in life was to be like Jesus in my daily living. And it should be our primary purpose too. There's no greater sight in the world than that of a person fired with a great purpose, dominated by an unwearing aim to do what God wants them to do. So find your purpose. Seek what God wants you to do. Be like him, and then being like him, then what does he want you to do? Find that purpose in life. The second thing Paul tells us says, forget the past. Forget the past. He said that in verse 13. That means forgetting the bad. And Paul, more than any others perhaps, had a reason and a past to forget. He tortured and murdered many innocent people. He caused a lot of pain and done much damage to the cause of Christ. We know what he did. He went around seeking out Christians, and he was on his way to Damascus. Do you remember? He was on his road with the letter. I've got the authority. I want to gather the Christians together and take them back to Jerusalem. It was going to cause damage in their lives. If anybody had a reason to forget the past, it was Paul. Then he was faced with a choice. Dwell on his mistakes and let them ruin his life and the chance for effective ministry in the future, or recognize them, forget them, and move on with his life. I don't know. You're no better than I do about your own life. Maybe you've had bad experiences in the past. Something you regret. Memories that keep haunting you and prevent your current life being lived to the full. You're not the only one. You're not me, the only one in that position. Paul said, forget the past. It's over. It's done. It's gone. And you can't change. The only thing that you can do is not allow it to ruin the rest of your life. I'm sorry for those who don't like football illustrations, but a football illustration. A footballer was playing in a game and he scored an own goal in the first half of the match. He sat in the changing room distraught. And at the end of the half time, without saying a word, the manager said, same 11, starts the second half. The player who'd scored the own goal said, I can't. I've let the team down. I've failed the team. The manager said to him, get out on the field. The game is only half over. There's a second half to play. God is willing to forget and forgive the mistakes of the first half and expects us to do the same. But we also say, forget the good as well. Forget the bad. That's gone. Start afresh with Jesus. But he also said, forget the good. Many people focus on the good times and good periods of their lives. That may have been when you're at school, maybe when you're at college or university. Maybe it was in a certain job you had. Times were good and you focus on them and you keep going back then to those times. Oh, I remember when I was in university, there were such wonderful, great times. The same things can happen in Salvation Army cause as well. Let me suggest. We can say, remember the good old days. Remember the good old days. Remember when such and such officer were here. They were good old days, weren't they? But the Bible tells us it's a sin to think like that. Because these are the good days. These are the good days that God wants to use. Paul knew that a good past was not enough to guarantee a meaningful future. Verse 7, Paul says, I will not live in the past. My reason for living now and in the future is to be like Jesus. Whatever happens yesterday, good or bad, is now ancient history. I will live for Jesus today, and God will not consult your past to determine your future. So seek a purpose for your life. Forget the past, both good and bad, and face the present. It's easy to live in the past, and it's easy to dream of the future of what might be. The real challenge is to live and to face and to live now, in the days where we are, in the present. Because it means we can no longer allow ourselves the luxury of saying, one of these days, I'll do something about my life, my health, my commitment to God. In John chapter 11, a familiar story to many of us, I'm sure, just reminds you, Jesus is ministering, and he hears that his good friend Lazarus had died. Jesus chose to wait a few days before he turned up at the family home. And his friend Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And Martha utters the classic phrase used by many, many people living in the past. If only. If only. And she says to Jesus, if only you had been here, Jesus, my brother would have not died. And Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. And then Martha begins to think about the future. And she says, I know he will rise again someday. So she's dreaming of the future now. If only you'd been here, Lord, you would have carried on living, or you'd have raised him. Now she's saying, one day I know he will rise again. She knew Jesus had power in the past. She knew Jesus would have power in the future, but like so many of us, we're not sure about his power for the present circumstances that we find ourselves in. We have no problem that Jesus performed miracles in the past. No problem believing that our future, he will come and call us to be with him and take us home. But we do have a problem of living and taking his word for the present. Eventually, Martha is able to say, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ. And we need to say, yes, Lord, I believe you're the voice speaking into my circumstances, whatever they may be at the moment. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the one who can still the storms in my life today. You can do that. You're able to do that. Facing the present means we put our trust in him. Trust him to be involved in every part of our lives, whatever that might be. Choose to live life as it comes day by day. To start each day, to wake up each morning and say, Lord, what do you want to do in my life today? What do you want to do in my life today? How are you going to use me today? What can I say today? What can I do today that shows me that you're working and living in my life? Ask him that every day, every morning. It may happen that by the end of the day, and when you say, Lord, how did you use me today? You won't even know sometimes. It may have been the smile that you gave someone as you were walking about down the street. It may be as simple as that. It might be a cheery thank you for your service to someone who's made you a coffee, or you've bought saying thank you for the way that they've served you in that particular thing. But you won't know that you've made their day by just saying thank you, or smiling at them, or doing a little task that's made their life better. But each day, Lord, how are you going to use me today? How are you going to use me to make someone else's life worthwhile? God does not want us to waste our lives, but by being like Jesus, to live our lives in all its fullness. He's done it before, he's done it for others, and he'll do it again, and he'll do it for you, and he'll do it for me, as we seek to worship him, seek to serve him, day by day. We're going to turn just briefly to a chorus that possibly was overused some time ago, but and yet still speaks to our hearts today. We're going to pray and respond in our hearts to the chorus that says, to be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. And in a year which has only just begun, one or two pages of the book may be written on and filled in, but there's a lot of book and there's a lot of pages ahead of you. And from this moment, from this hour that we've shared together, we make a prayer again. In every thought and deed, everything I say, everything I think, everything I do, this is my aim, my creed. Jesus, will you help us to be more like you day by day? Will you allow your Holy Spirit to move through our lives, that everything we do is how Jesus would have done it? It's a big thing to ask, isn't it? we should be asking big things. We should have big dreams. We should have big desires of the Lord in these days. Let's sing this refrain through and ask God to answer our prayer as we pray it, to hear His Spirit helping me. Like Him, I obey. Let's pray this prayer.
To be like Jesus, this home.
Lord Jesus, will you answer that prayer in our lives this morning? We prayed that prayer through the words of that refrain. Will you answer it for us? Will you show us what it means to be like you in our world today? As we go about our daily activities, as we go to work, as we go to study, as we meet with friends and family, will you teach us what it is to be like you in everything we think, everything that we say, and everything that we do? Father, as we look at our family this morning, we recognize that if we all made this prayer and you answered it in all of our lives this morning, and we went out from this place in a few minutes' time, what a difference it would make into the world in which we live and where you place us. And then if every church in this town were to pray the same prayer, what a difference it would make to the people of this town as they see your people going around this town being like Jesus. Father, hear our prayer. Answer our prayer today. For we pray in your precious name and in gratitude for all that you've done for each and every one of us. Amen. Amen. And so we bring our worship to a conclusion by turning to Psalm 613. We'll sing three verses of this song. 613. If we could sing the first, third, and fourth. Please, Simon, 1, 3 and 4. O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, Master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. Let me feel thee near me every step of the way. We pray that. Psalm 613, verses 1, 2 and 4. Let's sing. Let's stand together.
Thank you.
Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace today and forevermore. Amen.